Welcome back to Money Morning Centre Back. I'm Enya Luko with my buddy, amigo, Jere, where we come to you fortnightly. We play centre back. We assess the weekend's action. Jere, how are you doing?
I am extremely tired. And the only person I would do anything with in this time of the morning is my sister, Enya, because NFL has broken me.
Right. You're a busy man. You're a very,
the teams
very
are over,
man.
And we had our first game at Tottenham, so there were two games in.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it has been busy, busy, busy. But you know what? Like, we love it and we're moaning about it when it goes. So I'm just going to enjoy it, even though I feel like my arm and leg and everything else is falling off.
Yeah.
But you, I'm trying to keep up with you.
I know. I had a Beckham's premiere last week. I had the Best of Africa Awards. It's tough getting dressed up, man, all this time. It's tough looking glam. yeah.
But no, you look great. I'm very proud of you. You're doing amazing work.
Thank you very much, Dre. Right, so let's get into it. I mean, self-indulgence. I feel a little bit better. Chelsea won at the weekend, beat Burnley 4-1. Raheem Sterling's looking on fire. And we got Nicholas Jackson scoring goals as well. And that goal was probably my favourite, where he's Cruyff turned in the box and he scored. But we're still 11th. And we beat Burnley, which you should be expected to beat.
You are on the come up. Is this the comeback? The comeback is starting now.
I hope so. I mean, we've got Arsenal in 2 weeks' time. Ask me then. But yeah. Beating Burnley, there's nothing overly exciting about that. No disrespect to Burnley, but if Chelsea beat Arsenal in a few weeks, then we're talking. Then maybe I can feel a little bit more optimistic. I'm an optimistic person, but Chelsea aren't really giving us anything to go off right now. But it's good to see Sterling, you know, 2 goals, I think 1 assist yesterday. So that's all I've got to say on Chelsea, really. Not much.
Oh, well, you know what? To be honest with you, like, you've fallen so far, far down and so, you know, below expectation. It's like, it's not even funny just to keep on taking the mick out of you guys. So, you know, I like having all the big teams, the big stars, big players, you know, performing to their best, and then for it to be a healthy, you know, competition, unlike, you know, how it was last season. So in some ways, obviously I'm rooting for you, obviously not against Liverpool, but I do want you guys challenging for stuff, because I just think it'll be more of an interesting season rather than it just like as it is now.
Yeah, well, you guys are keeping it interesting. Liverpool at the top, 2-2 versus Brighton. But Dre, I mean, we could have, I really should have called you to ask you about your thoughts on the injustice, the VAR injustice against Spurs. Have you recovered from that? Because, I mean, what on earth? What on earth is going on?
You know what? I think that if you'd have spoken to me last week, I was full on conspiracy theory, corruption. And you know what? To be honest with you, let me just make this quite clear. And this is probably going to be my little ranty clip for some of these stupid fans. Like, what I've realized in this whole thing is that fans are stupid.
Selective.
Choose to be stupid. Because the thing is that you're more interested in banter and cry on. Oh, what are we going to do? We're going to go back to 1966 and look at a World
That's
Cup final then. And
the
you guys, whoever is going to do it, because you're going to do it because you're thick. And I'm just going to say, I got told by my wife not to call people thick anymore. But I'm sorry, you are. I'm just letting you know. Let me be the one to tell you. Because at the end of the day, you guys regurgitate the same things again and again. Come up with something different, please. Because at the end of the day is that this whole thing isn't just about Liverpool. It's about the league. And the end of the day is that you never want there to be a position where, or even an inkling that there's some type of dodginess going on. Now, from what I heard, I'm just saying, this is just my personal theory or personal opinion. From what I heard of that audio clip, it was sus to me, because it was hearing the person, you know, there was a one person, I'm not going to name any names because I ain't trying to get sued, but there's one person in particular who was like, have we made a mistake? And then the others were like, or whoever else it was, the main voice in there, I don't know who it was. Again, I'm not going to say names because I'm not trying to get sued. This is just a alleged. That's what happens. That's where you cover yourself for.
That's it.
Alleged.
It,
right? Allegedly.
Alleged.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't alleged because we heard it, but yeah.
All right. So then the person was just like, oh God, I made a mistake. Then they swore. Then they were like, then there was more than enough time for the other person to stop the game. And the other person was just like, okay, well, you know, are we just going to go ahead with it? And then the other person who was pretending that they couldn't hear, I feel, was like, no, can't do anything about that. Can't do it.
That was the bit that I thought was quite strange, because in anything, to the extent that you're dealing with human beings, you have to be able to make room for exceptional circumstances, and you have to be able to adapt from the law, letter of the law. For me, it was like robotic people who sort of didn't know what to do because something had come up where they'd made a mistake. Had they not have realized they made a mistake, that's a different situation.
Yeah.
But actually, they knew they'd made a mistake, and then it's literally your responsibility in that moment to correct it.
Right.
But it was like, no, let's just go ahead with this mistake.
Or you could choose to do it, Annie.
That's the bit I don't understand. Like,
you could choose not to follow the rules.
If you know something's wrong,
yeah.
Why don't you like stop the game or like? Like it's literally your
Benny. That's not if you don't want to stop it. If there's a reason why you can't or you don't want to, because it might be beneficial to you for whatever reason, then you would be like, nah, can't hear anything. Let's keep on going. Because in a day, when Liverpool say,
to be honest, I don't think
no, that's
was
fine.
Like a deliberate attempt to like shaft Liverpool. I just think they froze in the moment. But like you can't freeze in the moment when it's a goal. And this is my thing with the conversation around replaying the game, because it's like people go, well, do you want to correct every mistake a referee makes? This is a very, very, very exceptional circumstance. And I think Klopp said it, where you have disallowed a goal that was perfectly okay in a top of the table clash where it was 1-0 at the time, was it? Was it 1-0?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 1-0 at the time. So that has affected the outcome of the game.
No, sorry, it was 0-0 at the time.
Was it 0-0? Yeah, it was 0-0
at the time.
It's affected the outcome of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what people forget is that the Premier League is often decided on like minimal points. I know last year wasn't, but it's decided on goal difference or point. And it costs teams millions and millions of pounds, depending on where you finish in the league. Like, this isn't just like, oh, it's just human. Like, this is like this could be the difference between Liverpool getting into the Champions League or not.
Yeah. So, well, litigation talk.
So the rules of the game
start coming out.
Right. So people go, oh, well, it's every mistake. No, it's these types of mistakes that affect the outcome of the game and question the integrity of the game. So on a case-by-case basis, the rule should allow for the league to go, sorry, that's hit the threshold of that bad that we have to replay that game. So it's not about every mistake, because even in VAR, it's about clear and obvious errors. I'm now talking about another level where we're now having to listen to referees talking.
Yeah.
Have we ever had to do that?
Nope.
We're now having to listen to referees talking because the Premier League is worried that the integrity of the game is being called into question. That's how bad it is. So if it's that bad, an apology is not enough.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Apology doesn't really do anything. It doesn't compensate Liverpool. People go, replays in football are very much part of football. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we're talking about
Yeah.
the FA Cup,
But there's a the point of like congestion chart congestion
right? But
fixtures.
there is weeks where, like, last year we had to replay games because the Queen died. So, like, I just don't buy this whole like, oh, wow, that sounds a bit mad. Well, it's that bad though. Like, this is unprecedented. And so for incidents where I'm not talking about normal errors, I'm talking about this level of error where you can't look at that. That has to have an asterisk next to it, that result. You can't just go, oh, we're really sorry, we've taken the referees off. Well, that's par for the
No,
course. That should
that's
happen.
just a lot of crap. That whole is rubbish. What they should do, not you, sorry, is the their thing. But what they should do is that I'm speaking as a Liverpool fan. I don't want those that the game replayed because it's bigger than that. What it should be is that what Liverpool are looking for, and I'm sure all the fans, there will be some people that want the game replayed because I think we'll beat them. I think we'll definitely beat them 1-1. Now. Yeah, without assistance from the referees and stuff. Now, what I think should actually happen, which would be better, is moving forward. If they make a mistake that cancels out a goal that's perfectly, legal, then that goal should be awarded, even if it's at a later point. So you got like within 24 hours, if they look at it and realize that there's been some type of mistake. So in theory, not again, thick fans. I'm not saying that for the Liverpool now. Because you have to talk to these people because they're stupid. So what you do is that moving forward, let's say it's Chelsea and Burnley, then Burnley get a goal chalked off that should have been given. Then what happens if there's been a mistake to that level? Then what they will do is that they'll give that goal later, and the points will be shared. If it ends up being 3-2, then it doesn't make a difference anyway. But if it affects the actual particular result of the game, so Tottenham's won. They scored two goals. In theory, we scored two goals. It should have been a point each. That's what should have happened. But what it is that people have to change their brain to, kind of accepting that. We have VAR and we have rules that can actually be implemented. So if there is any form of mess up and we can all see, then we can actually make the adjustments accordingly or scrap it and you just go back to the old refereeing system where there's going to be a mess up and you just have to deal with human error.
So you're saying the goal should have been awarded and a point should have been. So it's
Moving forward, not for this, but just moving forward, that would be the
right.
better system. So if there is a mess up, because they're not going to overhaul the whole system, they're not going to get rid of VAR. But what they should do is that if like then Liverpool play Chelsea and then Chelsea get right result finishes 2-1, and then it's proven so it's like the same situation where there's a goal that should have been given, not a penalty or anything like a goal should have been given, then automatically within that time. It should be like, all right, cool. We found this happened. This is the
This is a
reason.
goal.
Video's played. This is a goal. Boom. Done.
But what happens if, so I hear that in terms of this specific game, but what happens if, like, that goal, the other team ends up scoring four, for example,
Right.
and really it doesn't affect or change, it doesn't
Then.
affect or change the
I
result.
mean, you're still given the goal, but it's not going to affect the result. Wolves, if Wolves
Right.
beat
You're
Man
just
United
saying,
4-1,
give the
just
goal.
give the goal. And then if
I
it
agree with
affects
that.
a result, then it affects the result. Then the points have to be changed as well. But
Yeah,
if
I
it's a
think that, yeah.
legitimate goal, now the thing is that what we're doing is we're messing around with the nature of the game because let's say in theory, when Liverpool scored, we was on top. Tottenham would have come out a bit more. We would
Yeah,
have we
exactly. And
our game would have been different, and that's the
that's the
problem.
bit where I
So.
say it, I get what you're saying. But that's the bit I say, you have to replay the game because, we know like momentum is completely big part of the game. Liverpool score, Tottenham might have done something different. You just don't know. The amount of games that are affected by early goals or late goals, I just don't think it's so out of the ordinary to say in this very exceptional circumstance, which is decided on a case by case basis, that VAR have to investigate and have to get to a level where we're hearing referees, the tapes of referees, which I've never heard before. By the time we're stuck with the whole country is hearing referees talking, We should be talking about replaying the game. I just anyway, I don't
But
understand.
any just lastly on this, and this is the problem is this the tribalism of majority of thick people that they are more focused about getting at another team rather than the greater good, which is
Of the
let's
game.
sort this thing out so therefore we can return the game that we love to what it is. Like you can't even celebrate a goal properly at the moment. You're like, yeah, and you're like, oh, that whole thrill about a goal. Like the only people that get to enjoy just the nature of scoring a goal is Sunday league footballers, or people who aren't of Premier League level, which majority of them, including me, are not. But that, you know, do you know what I mean? Like if you're not. You can't even like score a 25 yarder and like celebrate because it's like, oh, is someone's finger offside? So it's just like they need to just, you know, redo this whole
I mean,
thing.
I'm in favor of VAR. Like, people go, oh, let's scrap VAR because it's not, you know, we might as well
It ain't
go.
working properly.
But
Automated system, any. The automated system in the World Cup, which all the other countries
well,
are a lot of the it worked. There's no delay, debate. There's no like drawing of the lines in interpretation because that's where you could get people say, nah, that's dodgy, or nah, that referee's always out to get us. Nah, that referee's on the take because he's drawing lines and he's drawing it in a certain angle. He's freezing the frame at a certain
Yeah.
point so that when the referee comes, you can see the person like, you know, almost taking that person's leg off, not the whole thing because football isn't played like, you know, like the bionic man slow. It's not done that way. It's, you know, in actual real life. So if I happen to go for a ball and then I go over the top, it's an accident. You should be able to judge an accident, yellow card to straight red. Like, but again, you tribal fans, you know, who are moan it all, just want to get at other people. I hope so. I hope the same thing happens to your team.
Exactly.
And
This is the
I
thing.
hope you get relegated or you lose points for it because you're stupid.
A bit
And I'm just
strong.
letting you know that.
Wow, Dre had to get that off
Yeah.
his chest.
Yeah. Thick.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the rules should allow for it, but don't think it's gonna happen. So
No.
we've got to move on. But you know, a good you got the Merseyside derby coming up. That's a
Oof, my
spicy
team
one.
annoys me.
That
That's
is
why
a
they
spicy.
got me today because the damn team is we're supposed to be title contenders and the same thing happens with Klopp and I'm just letting you know this. Sorry, I'm feeling ranty today. Now, the problem I've got with Klopp is that we've got all the tools there to be able to mount a title challenge. Now, I remember at the start of this, I weren't talking all this before, but I've seen that, you know, we had a long run and then we've got our actual nucleus of a team. With maybe an addition in the January window that we can actually mount a challenge. I'm not saying we're going to win it, but we can challenge. Now, the problem is that sentiment, I feel, for Klopp comes in. Joe Matip is not good enough to play week in and week out. You know, I feel that mistake, well, some of the mistakes that are made, like there's got to be a bit more of a ruthlessness about him. He's won a lot and he's been our best manager. I love him to death, but sometimes your biggest strength is your weakness, and sometimes it's loyalty to players who can't play week in week out is going to affect our title challenge if it's not corrected because you know it should have been, you know, we should have had someone else playing, you know, in that particular game against Brighton because if anything it's not a massive deal because Brighton are a very good team. People think they should just be able to steamroll them. You can't because Brighton are that team now. So getting a point there is good enough.
Very good,
Well,
yeah.
but not good enough from where we were. We should have been able to hold on or score again.
Right, next section. Don't jealous me. I've got a new team that I'm jealous of, Dre. Tottenham.
Oh no.
But we're
Ooh.
gonna start with Arsenal. Arsenal obviously winning 1-0 against City yesterday. First time Arsenal have beaten City in 12 league games.
Yeah.
It's massive. And obviously we've talked a lot, haven't we, about like Arsenal had to do something different this year to beat City. And it's an impressive win with Saka out, De Bruyne was out. But can we just talk about Raya? The first, I don't know if you've seen the highlights, but just, I mean, we talked about him at length in our last episode, but my man looked like a nervous wreck in the first half. And I'm
He
thinking,
almost gave away a goal, right?
this is not an upgrade on Ramsdale, like not even close. And I'm just like, I mean, they're lucky they won, really. But there was, you know, there was one obviously incident in the first half where he's being pressed, and it could easily have been a goal.
Yeah,
I can't remember the player. I think it was Bernardo Silva who closed him down. But and then it's so funny because now every time Raya makes a mistake, the cameras come to Ramsdale. And Ramsdale, poor guy, has got to, like, look, poker face as if, like, you know, he's not seeing what we're seeing.
Yeah, he
and
can't react to it.
I mean, I don't want to dwell on it too much because we've already talked about it, but I'm just a bit baffled by it. You know, it just doesn't, for me, so far, it doesn't seem like he's an upgrade on Ramsdale. But they won the game. It's a massive win.
Yeah. I mean, he ain't making mistakes like Onana. He's not making mistakes like him. So as long as you ain't making them type of mistakes, like, because I've never seen.
It's actually like, bro, are you okay? And they're so hype about him.
I'm sorry, Man United fans. We're not always picking on you, on the keeper.
No, we're not.
It's just,
it was so hype.
I've never.
And he was so good last season.
He's been a great keeper. I don't know what the hell's gone on. Pressure. But good win for Arsenal. You know, I think it's a good thing for the league.
Like, I'm not trying to like downplay it because it's a massive win. Uh-huh. My thing is that, like, it, you know, could that. For me, the acid test for Arsenal is, can they pull out that win in April and May when it matters? Because City, it's one of those things where City will be annoyed they lost, but in the back of City's heads, they know that they are the best in the world at the business end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, and it's the same with Tottenham, which we'll get onto. When it comes to the end of the season, are you going to be doing this? That's the key question, because we've got last season to look at, and that's where Arsenal crumbled. So beating City, cool, it's major, but there's two things. If you're going to beat City, make sure you don't drop points to some dibby-dibby other lower teams. You know, when I say lower teams, but teams they should be expected to beat. And B, you've got City again at some point. I haven't seen the fixture list, but at the business end of the season, that's when you need to beat City. Do you know what I mean?
No, I agree. But you have a tight challenges around you. You have to beat Tottenham, you know, and you're going to be at Tottenham's ground, I think. Yeah, because his last one was at Arsenal, I think.
Then
December 23rd, you have to come to Liverpool. You know, and we're only 3 points off. It's not a two-team challenge. We're still very much in there, despite the fact that we've been screwed over and then disappointed ourselves yesterday. We're still in the mix. So, well done, but relax, because you know what? Winter is coming.
speaking of refs again, I don't know if you saw it, but I love Kovacic, but he should have been sent off yesterday. This is what I'm saying about the consistency. I'm like,
none.
It doesn't make sense. Like, and the referee's like waving it on as if like nothing to see here. And I'm thinking, I actually love Kovacic, but it's like it's a sending off. Like
that is more of a sending off than Curtis Jones was.
You can't.
That's way more
on someone's ankle like that. Yeah. I mean, the amount of times I've seen that as a sending off. And, like, the referee just decides, no, not today. It's like, it's really, because the Premier League is the best league in the world and it goes out to so many countries. And I'm like, this is not consistent. It's not consistent. And I know when it comes to human beings, you can't be 100% consistent. But for things like that, where it's like, come on, like, it's not a good tackle.
No. It's not. It, but... If we had last week for something that is nowhere remotely near, that was from behind, high stud showing, tick tick tick.
It's a foul.
So I don't understand it. But this is the problem: is that like, there's no consistency with the referees. You either let things go, as you did like a couple of seasons ago, when it was like proper rough and tumble, and some of them old school meaty tackles were going in, and I love that, as I call them, meat and taters tackles. Them ones.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't mind. I don't mind a good tackle, but you know, when you're coming in studs up on a planted ankle,
no.
That you can't do that. Like, that's not,
especially from behind. The person can't even see it. Like, again, some of them old school tackles where you could see the person flying in. That's your job to get out of the way. You got to make a business decision between you and the ball, and you being out for several weeks. But like, he didn't even see him coming. Do you get what I mean? So like, yeah. Again, it's the same thing. Referees, we shouldn't be talking about you. We should be talking about the game, the players. We don't play to see you. We don't want to hear you lot talking. You lot making rules so you lot can be more involved in the game. Nerds, get out. We want to see the players.
Yeah, we do talk about refs way more than we should, because it should be about the football and the players. One player that was sent off was Bissouma for diving, which was a horrific dive. I mean, if you're going to dive... I mean, I don't advocate diving, but usually dives are a little bit disguised. That was shocking. That was terrible. But I have to say, Bissouma, he's been one of the best players for Tottenham. Like, he has been brilliant. Yeah. Really good. I really enjoyed watching him at the
New Arsenal. Lease of life there.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I can't believe he was, like, not even featuring in Conte's team last year.
Tottenham are... level with
you say
Arsenal,
they're title
right?
Contenders.
Yeah, definitely. I think they are. I mean, I'm not saying that we didn't play them off the park, and I think that I'm very comfortable with the fact that we could beat them. But at the end of the day, is that you're going to pay attention. You're not. This ain't the same old Spurs that, like, you know, were flat to deceive. I think this one's got a bit more of a steal, and I like those two centre midfielders. They've got Bissouma and another guy.
Bissouma's top player.
You've got some decent players. I think personally, if they had a striker, and Arsenal and Tottenham are in the same position, if they had a legitimate number one striker, like a Osimhen, for both of them, then that takes you over the edge, and I think you could win it.
But they did have a legitimate number one striker, Harry Kane, and arguably Spurs are doing better without him. So,
yeah.
Son being the number nine now, I think is just as effective.
No, but just a different type of one, because at the end of the day, is that Son, there's too much. I mean, like, he took off Son against us, and I was like,
I think Richarlison's decent. Like, in terms of, like, look, Spurs are never going to get £100 million.
No.
Like, that's just not their business model. But I think Richarlison is, like, when he gets back to what we saw, I think, at the World Cup, he must be horrible to play against, Richarlison.
I'm not. I mean, I'm not saying he's rubbish, because he's far from it. He had a wicked goal, I think it was at the World Cup. But, you know, to be honest, that's like... Haley's Comet comes around now and again, and that's a spectacular thing.
It's a polished article, but there's something in him that I think, do you know what, this guy, if he's just in the right team, he could be a 20-goal-a-season striker. 20-goal-plus.
I think he's there as a chaos person, chaos merchant. He provided a good goal for Son against us.
I like Richard. I don't know why. I think he's like a throwback. You know, he reminds me a little bit of like Diego Costa at Chelsea. It was just rough and ready.
The disrespect to Diego
Costa.
Didn't
like him, but he
Diego Costa was a finisher. That boy used to finish. He caused trouble, but he could bang in some goals too. Like he made me nervous. Like, oh God, like, you know, we got to play against him. I'm not really worried about Richarlison. I think that if you've got a decent midfield, a decent defender, You could
Yeah,
just die
maybe,
quiet.
maybe. But yeah, I think Spurs are here to stay. I don't think this is like just a, you know, I
Who you
think
got in a moment? Head to head. Spurs or Arsenal?
that's a really good question.
Right here and right now, who do, this is just right here, right now, tribal fans.
What to win the
Who
league?
are you putting your money on? Like we've got a nice sample taste of all teams.
Do you know what?
Take
If
City out of it.
I
Who are
had
you
to
gonna
put
put?
my money on today of who could win the league this year, it would be Spurs.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just think when it comes to that cutting edge goal scoring, like as per our conversation just a minute ago, I think Spurs have just edged it. When I look at Arsenal, I still think Jesus needs two chances to score one. Son needs one. Do you know what I mean? Like, Nketiah, yeah, towards goals, but not all the time. I don't know. It's a tricky match. Yeah, it's a tricky one. I think Spurs just edge it for me.
Okay.
Just. But Arsenal have the experience now of being in the title race. You know, I think Spurs are Arsenal last season. I think they're gonna stay where they are pretty much all season, and then it's gonna be about what they do when it matters, because we know Spurs and the Spursy label that they've got, that Spursy label comes down to what they do under pressure, like
Yeah,
when
but
it really.
you know, I'm not having a dig. I'm not having a dig at Arsenal,
You're not having a dig at
but
your back of the dig.
no, nah, I'm not. You know, when someone says I don't mean to be disrespectful, but right, finishing second in the league doesn't mean that you were in a title challenge. That was not a title challenge. Title challenge to Liverpool fans is the last day, last week. That finish. We could have gone on holiday and come back.
Can't say
That ain't no
that.
title. That's no title challenge. Title challenge is the last day. Ain't no
No, you
like.
can't say they weren't in a title challenge.
Listen, nah, come on, Eni. Me and you, we could have gone to Costa Rica, had a wicked cruise, and come back. And City still won the league by
It's
that time. It
true.
was
It's
3 weeks
actually true.
beforehand. So therefore, you ain't no title challenge. You've got experience. It's like being in a cruise, right?
They've got
Same thing.
experience
That you've.
up until April. They've got
That's
experience.
like me saying I've been to Mexico because I've stepped off the cruise ship, gone into one place, done a little bit of shopping, and then I've gone back on the cruise ship. You ain't been to Mexico. You've been to that place, that city, right? So you ain't been in a
Love
title
this
challenge because it
analogy. I
finished
love it.
3 weeks beforehand.
It's
It was
true.
done. So
You're
therefore,
right.
relax. Enjoy your time in the sun because I told you now, winter's coming on the 23rd of December.
Dre, you're on fire today, man. I hear you. Listen, I hear you. A title challenge should be, you know, down to the wire. Down to the wire is not a month, and Man City already know they've won with 5 games to go. You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. But I think that will be the acid test for Spurs. Like, what are you going to do? Because when Spurs get to cup finals or semi-finals, that's when you start seeing them crumbling. Like, Postecoglou and this Spurs team. Let's see when, because remember I said last episode, Spurs hadn't really played anyone until they played Arsenal and Liverpool. Man United, obviously, they played. But now it's like, okay, now they're like they're kicking it with the big boys. So
Yeah, I mean they won the game. Like if they'd have drawn against nine men, then I'm sorry, people would be like, "Nah, you lot ain't real." And then they went toe to toe with Arsenal, so I give them the full respect. Like they did what they needed to do. I'm fully on board with Spurs at the moment. Out of the power rankings, out of those two, I'm gonna give it to Spurs because I think Spurs have got more steel and they can finish. I think Arsenal flattered to deceive. And I've, you know, to me, but people are going to think I'm just being anti-Arsenal, which I am.
yeah, it's tight, but I think Spurs edge it right now. What about Newcastle's 4-1 win against PSG? Wow.
I mean, I'm being honest. I missed that, and again, it's like another Haley's Comet moment. I don't. Newcastle fans, I do love you guys, and I really want success for you. I just don't really take you seriously at the moment. I just, that team, I really like, you know what I mean? It's just there. There's just bits of people. It's like B-level teams.
Against PSG.
No, that's good. But everyone can, like, Fulham beat Bayern Munich. Do you get what I mean? So it's just like, okay.
You sound a bit salty, to be honest.
I'm a little bit.
We're
not in the competition.
Brilliant. It was a brilliant win. Like, and a
but well done.
Werner Longstaff scored, which was nice to see. I mean, I'm just impressed. Eddie Howe, like, what that guy has done. I mean, he came in when
that's true.
Barca were like 19th. Do you know what I mean? And to now be in the Champions League, beating PSG with Mbappe on the pitch, that you got to give him flowers for that. You have to.
I'll give him that. I will give him that.
I hear you, but though. Again, like, you don't think Newcastle, you know, Newcastle don't, as impressed as I am, they don't make me feel how Spurs make me feel at this moment in time. Yeah. Like, oh, they could like they're going to challenge for the title. Like, it does feel a little bit like a special night in the club's history, and that's kind of, it doesn't really.
Because Fulham got that night. I think Nottingham Forest have got a night like that.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's got that night that, wow, that happened. Like, again, like bigger teams, that those nights happen more regularly and you become a little bit more blasé. So let's say we've half beaten Barcelona, you know, now people can have a debate about that, or Dortmund coming back and beating them. And do you see my point? Like, bigger teams with European pedigree, that happens quite a lot. So well done. No, I'm not knocking in them at all. It just sounds like I'm being horrible to them. Well done. But it's like I can't take you to... When that team, they had that team when it had, you know, Robert Lee, Ginola, Asprilla, you know, Ferdinand. This is before Shearer came, because I think him messed up the balance here. You know, like, I feel like that team was serious. You know, when you used to get a result, do you get what I mean? But I feel like this team is like, there's a lot of like people that will be on people's benches and stuff like that there. So I'm not really like, you know. I don't, you know. And you lost to it against us with 10 men. So you need to prove to me a little bit more.
I like Isaac, though. I like Alexander.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He should be playing. Well,
so speaking of the Champions League, can we talk about my fellow Brummy, Jude Bellingham?
Boy. I knew there was a bias in this. I do. You know what? I was wondering why you're president of the Jude Bellingham Appreciation Society.
I mean, who isn't? Anyone who doesn't like Jude Bellingham, I don't know what your problem is, because this is a golden boy. Like, eight matches, 8 goals.
That is sick. He's in a good team, and they're playing to his strengths.
2 goals in the Champions League, and he's what, 21, 20?
Yeah. He's a good player.
And let me just remind you, in case you haven't forgotten, Liverpool could have had him.
Oh, my God. Listen, we got Szoboszlai. We're all right.
Liverpool,
I'm just letting you know that Szoboszlai is up there. Now maybe other fans don't know.
Compare Szoboszlai to Jude Bellingham.
Szoboszlai's up there. He's up there.
He's up there, but he ain't Jude Bellingham.
He's not. Maybe not. Yeah. Jude Bellingham, can I just remind you, is playing in a team with, again, Toni Kroos. He's got, who's he got behind him as well? He's got Toni Kroos. He's got, come on. My brain's not in gear today.
He could have been playing in your... That's not a point. He could have been playing in your team. This 100 million that they spent on Jude Bellingham now looks like the biggest bargain, the best bargain of...
We got nearly three players for that same amount of money. So I'm all right.
Right. Okay.
So we got Szoboszlai, McAllister, and we got, what's his name?
Right,
Gravin Birch for around that same money.
Right, but this is always an argument I don't understand. That's cool and that's nice business and stuff. But one player for 100 million could be the difference between you winning the Champions League again.
Nah, we needed more surgery than that. Do you know what I mean?
You did. Yeah, but Bellingham is available. He has to be one of those players. And then you go, right, okay, we might not be able to get three players, but we get, like, that's 100 million for Bellingham in comparison to the 100 million that has been spent on other teams is a bargain.
Yeah, compared to Declan Rice, night and day is different.
He's on Ballon d'Or levels. Yeah. And then he's got this iconic celebration now. He's fans love him. Like, he's on, like,
I'm really happy for him because I like it when you know, English players go abroad and actually test themselves. It's very easy just to stay here and play in this league where, you know, I think if you want to grow as an actual world-class player, like your boy Beckham, you know, he went over to Real Madrid, tested himself and became part of the Galacticos and won, you know, bits. He didn't, I don't think they won a champ. He didn't win the Champions League. I think he left before they did or came after they did. But like, you know, you're playing in that team that everyone remembers with you, Figo, Zidane, you know, Roberto Carlos. So I like him because in the day is that he's tested himself. He's gone to a different country, different language, obviously, different culture, and then playing, you know, in a non-familiar, you know, environment and killing it. So salute to him.
Speaking
we
of,
both win.
Speaking of, no, I think if you're really honest with yourself.
Why are you hating? Just leave us alone.
You should be kicking yourself. That, but because he, what, I actually think the boy wanted to go to Liverpool.
Yeah, he did want. He might want him to go, but then it's like he would. You would not be saying the same things about him because I promise you that people be passing around him because he'd be the only midfielder that we got. Because you got injury, you know, always injured Thiago.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have three players that we got, and you'd have Curtis Jones. So, I like what we got.
Speaking of Beckham, have you seen the documentary?
No, not yet. Not yet. Was it good?
Yeah, it's good. It's really good because I think it highlights a few things, but the one thing that really struck me was just like what this guy went through when he made after the World Cup incident.
Yep.
Like we talk, you know, obviously we've talked about social media and the abuse and football, and you've talked about the tribalism a lot in football, and a lot of it is on social media, right? Which you can switch off, you can delete it, you can switch off. Beckham,
no, yeah,
was going through that on the streets. Do you know what I mean?
Talk about his kids. I remember they hung that sarong.
Sitting at him on the streets, like
West Ham did that,
and it just makes you think. Like, we do need, like, as much as we, it's kind of like English football culture. I mean. It obviously really affected Beckham. Like he talked about the fact that he was, you know, I think Victoria mentioned that he was like clinically depressed, and you know, but he came back, and you know, the next season they won the treble after the World Cup and stuff. Which so he turned it into fuel, but like the culture in the media culture in this in this country and the fan culture in this country kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah,
and you think to yourself, okay, so if Beckham wasn't strong enough. If Beckham did not have the at Man United, something else could have happened. Do you know what I mean? Like, what? Because of a game? Because of football? And
I don't think it changes even worse now.
It's and the England fans, worse now. You think, you know, the England fans that go abroad and behave just like thugs. Yep. It's still happening, and I'm like, when is this going to be addressed? Like this kind of thuggish. You know, English football culture that, you know, spits people out. It's just, it struck me because obviously I've experienced some of it, but not to the level, you know, he has. And people, like, every stadium he went to was just booed and, you know, it was just horrible, 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 horrible.
I mean, it got worse. Look at Saka and Sancho and Rashford had to part with, you know, nothing's changed at all. You know, that's why some fans can't roll with England, even if they're English, because at the end of the day, is that the way that the fans behave?
Right. Yeah, it really struck me, but it's good. I really enjoyed the documentary. I mean, what a man! What a legend!
We happened to meet him in the same week, and he's such a nice guy.
He's a really
nice guy. He's
proper family guy.
He's got an aura about him as well. I like
family,
it.
You know, his love story with Victoria is just, it got me all gooey. I was like, oh, this is true love, man. Proper.
I'll definitely watch it. It's going to relive a lot of hurt childhood memories with Man United dominating.
It's very Man United nostalgic, I have to say. Because you know I grew up as a Man United fan. So it reminded me. I'm open about it. So it reminded me of like my childhood. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I think it's a good watch. I think it's a really good watch.
Yeah, it's like me going back to watching them Boogeyman. You know, I just like, you know what, enjoy it. You know what, Man United fans, watch that. Watch this, because you can remember the good old times, because they're far behind.
That's the thing. Like, you watch,
you see the fall.
See the treble winning team and all of that, and you think, wow, like, Man United far away from this, man. Like, far away from getting back to that point. It takes, like, often, I mean, you know, with Liverpool, it took 30 years. Yeah, I mean, it takes a long time.
Well, what are you going to bring us into it for? Why are you, what?
No,
why you got to shoot?
No, but if I bring it to Chelsea, that's what I fear. Like, with Chelsea, the longer it goes on, the longer this could be another Man United, Liverpool, where you're just in the wilderness for 20 years.
Well, what's good about this whole thing is that money can't solve all problems. And you know, at the end of the day, is that normally what happens is that stupid fans, they start going, oh, we should be spending, we should be buying. Well, you don't buy everyone. So there's no reason why you technically shouldn't be up there. And some things is just about chemistry, coaching, you know, and players coming in and out of form, patience as well. So we've all had to kind of suffer that. Man United, before they won, remember, they went like 20 odd years without winning the league beforehand. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, it's a nice thing. Everything happens in their time. It might be Arsenal's time. It might be Tottenham's time. It might be back to our time again. You know, mm-hmm. I just think that it was not as a, when I watch it, it would be a nice memory of, like, you know, what at that time, obviously, I didn't really give him the praise that's due, because, you know, I hate Man United and all their players. So therefore, you know, him getting flack from all the fans when I was a kid, then that was like, I was happy with that, because it might put him off and they might lose. But like now as an adult, you're like, Jesus, like, you shouldn't have to put up with that stuff. He's a nice guy. So salute to him.
Yeah. Any reckless talk, Dre? This week.
Well, I think I've done a lot.
Coming up. Yeah, you've talked pretty reckless today. You've had your rant, but I needed to give you your moment, because I think you deserve a rant based on that terrible injustice, VAR injustice. But yeah, reckless talk. You got the Merseyside derby coming up.
You know what my reckless talk is, right? I'm just going to come at these fans, right? We all need to stick together. I'm talking to all you fans. It's our game.
Exactly.
Our game, not their game. And there's a lot of money involved in it. And there's a lot of things that are influencing, you know, results, maybe. I hope not. Well, it has in Italy. It's done it before. So if it happens in Italy, it can happen to us. So therefore, don't close your brain.
Right.
Be there to be a custodian of the game. To say, this is not right. We don't want this to happen. This is our game. We want to be able to have a last-minute winner and just everyone go nuts and beer flying everywhere or whatever. Like, just that moment. You're not having it at the moment, because you have to be like, yeah, is it gone? Yeah. So you lose that jubilation. So take your tribalism, just park it, put it in the thick brain.
And think about what
you fell in love with. I'm very sure for all of us, it's the first love that you've ever had. Before any meeting your other halves, it's your first love. That's the first thing you did. You found a team and you're like, oh my God, I love this team and I'm obsessed with them. I'm going to put posters everywhere. Or I'm going to have pictures everywhere. I'm going to pay money that I can't afford sometimes to be able to travel and pay for hotels and pay for tickets. We do this because we love it. So therefore, like, don't let authorities, you know, get away with things because you're too busy getting at other teams, because you get your 2 minutes in the sun. I'm not reading your comments, so therefore you're just talking to yourself. But your team's going to get screwed over. I know Liverpool going to be up there no matter what. We're going to have sunny days for the rest of, so you know, for the rest of the times. Say even Man United, they have sunny days, because we get to see this stuff. But I'm talking about, you know, all of those fans, like, if you've got a lower league fan, I'm not going to name any of these lower league fans, but, like, just be aware that if what you fall in love with, and then it could happen to your team. That's all.
Exactly. Hear, hear, Dre. Hear, hear.
Yeah, see, that's fair.
I mean, that's not reckless talk. That's very wise talk. Very wise talk. Yeah, no, that's... That is very right. It's our game, and we want to see, because if the game improves, it means it benefits everyone, right? It benefits
Exactly.
every team. So yeah, love that, Dre. That's the that's it for today. A bit of a shorter one.
We got through. We
But we got
got through the main
through it.
talk points.
Some juicy games coming up as well. So we will be back in a few weeks' time. Hopefully by then,
We
all
might
the
jump
games.
on periodically if something else happens.
Yeah, we might jump. We
Yeah.
might start doing that because we
Yeah.
don't want to miss it the moment. So we
Yeah,
might
because
jump
you're
on.
lucky. You think I was ranty today? I was really ranty last week.
We gotta think of a name for just for when we jump on
Yeah.
and we just talk about certain topics. So we just have a focus. Maybe Monday. Maybe just focus sections of
Yeah.
our Monday mornings in the back. So yeah, let's see if we can do that.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you for hearing
Thank
me
you
rant.
all.
I'll go back to Sunny Andre.
Yeah, you need to. Well, you've
I've
decompressed.
decompressed. I've done it. I've done it. I've managed to do
I'm glad I gave you the
it.
platform to do so. Cheers, Jay.
All right, cheers. Thanks. I'll catch you guys next week. Peace.